Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Anatomy of a Movie. Today, we're doing something a little special. We're talking about Sharknado, The Fourth Awakens. It's a TV movie, but we're going to talk about it nonetheless. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Anatomy of a Movie.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Let this song sink in. The best theme song ever. Ah, man, we're talking Sharknado. That's right, the global phenomenon. And we have someone new to Popcorn Talk, Andrew Mena.
Andrew Mena, that's me. You got it.
That's
right. And you should tell the people who you are, too.
I'm Phil Svitek. They know me.
I mean, they know, but it's nice to hear you say who you are for maybe people who haven't tuned in before.
That's right. If you've never seen an Anatomy of a Movie, we talk about movies, in this case a TV movie,
and
as if
everyone's
you've seen
anatomy.
It. Yes.
Right.
We assume that you've seen the movie, so it's very spoiler-filled. Although, if you want to just watch, there was your warning. You can also download our rundown, so that way you can kind of follow along and, you know what our notes are going into this. This one's a little bit lighter than most anatomies, so it's not your typical, don't use this as a barometer, you know, but nonetheless, we're going to talk about it as much in depth as we can. Mm-hmm. But it's Sharknado. It's just there to be a fun movie. And we're going to have fun with this.
Totally. That is the plan.
That is the plan. So, you know, this is the fourth one, as the title suggests. Overall impressions.
Oh, my goodness. Overall impressions. So, obviously, this movie is bonkers. In the best way. You guys like my Jason Mantzoukas impression? It's bonkers! All right. So, it's my overall impression is just that it is a great addition to the films. I'm going to be honest up front. I haven't seen second and third. I saw first. I was a big fan of first. But then I didn't have TV for a long time. I got TV again. Fourth came out. I'm a fan again. So I'm missing a little chunk of it. But I'm picking up bits and pieces. And there's obviously a lot of context clues. And we'll talk a lot about that as we go through the story. But just general impressions that this is madness. Taken to the logic, like I love it. It's madness and fantastic madness.
Absolutely, and you know, I've loved this franchise from the word go, and that is a pun on the theme song. I don't know what it is. There's certain movies that they can just have fun with it, and there's a point where a bad movie is just so bad that it's good.
Absolutely.
And this is sort of one of those movies, and I've been trying to think for a very long time since the first one of, like, what makes this one succeed versus others? And, you know, there's, like, Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, and that's,
sure,
you know, somewhere in the better range of things. They're coming out with Two Lava, Two Lantula,
coming soon to Sci-Fi.
Yeah, we'll see if that's good.
Like, it could be. It's got a great title.
It does, but you know, I mean, this franchise, it just took you
something
away.
Something about it. I mean, we have Shark Week, so there's like this natural obsession with humanity and sharks. We fear sharks, we think they're neat, but we also like kind of make them cuddly in certain iterations. If you watch like Finding Nemo, obviously, the sharks that are like vegetarian sharks, more or less, you know, they're just like, oh, I think sharks could be my friends now. So there's a lot of shark love. I think it's obvious that shark anything was going to be the way to go.
Hopefully. I mean, Shark Night didn't do so well. But
oh, really?
I did like that movie.
That's Shark Night?
Yeah.
Night of the Living Sharks?
No. You got to go see it.
I got to go see it.
I've seen Marissa can attest. She's not, for those of you regular watchers, you know Marissa Serafini. She's in the booth today. She did not see Sharknado the Fourth Awakens yet. But she knows I've seen a lot of sharks.
Oh, man. She's getting spoiled hard right now.
It's all right. I'm going to make her watch it nonetheless.
All right, good.
How about this? This is a basic question, and for those of you at home, feel free to answer as well. But where were you on the April Lives, April Dies? Sorry.
Now, I wasn't there for, like, when it happened, but I found out about it before I watched 4. So I was fascinated that it was like, you get to decide. And that they overwhelmingly decided for her to live. I was like, that is interesting, because she's such an interesting character, and she seems to care so little that it seems so funny that everyone cares so much for her. Mm-hmm. As an audience. So I think it's fascinating. I love that she is now an android. That's wonderful. It is madness. We'll talk a lot about that, I'm sure. But yeah, I think that it's fascinating that we got the result we did.
The fascinating part for me, and we'll talk about April at more length, but it was very fascinating because there was no timeline set for it. So it was like, okay, you get to vote, but it was like, when is the vote over?
Okay.
I just thought maybe for like the first 24 hours they would do it, and then we would get the result, but, you know,
Let it go on.
Yeah, it wasn't...
That's crazy.
Even Tara herself, we did interview her on Popcorn Talk, and even she herself said, like, for 7 months, she didn't know.
Wow.
One way or the other. And, like, imagine if you're in that limbo. But I also figured that you can have a lot of fun with this in the sense that no matter... Even if people decide that she was dead, you just reincarnate her as someone else, much like Landfill from Beer Fest.
Sure. Yeah,
if you haven't seen that movie, there's a character who... in theory, quote-unquote, dies.
And they just bring back his, like, brother, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm the brother. I taught him everything he knows. Something like that.
Yeah, and what's great about that movie, too, is they're like, hey, listen, he explained everything to me. I know all your guys' history, so there's not that awkward getting to know each other moment. And do me a favor. Just call me Landfill.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like you never lost the character.
Yeah. It's like, oh, he died, but not really.
So I figured, again, with Sharknado being the way that it is,
It could have been a way they could have treated it, totally.
Yeah.
Could have seen that.
Another thing, like going into it, the fact that David Hasselhoff, right off the bat, was on all posters and promotion.
Oh, like,
we left him for dead. But he's not dead.
No, he's not dead. He's happily, successfully, like, still the colonel, still doing, working on projects.
Yeah.
And being David Hasselhoffy.
So, you know, there it was. But let's take a quick step back. Thunder 11 is the writer once again.
Fantastic name.
You know, and people don't think it's a real name, but that's legit.
That's his real name, though, yeah.
Yeah. He's a very quirky kind of guy.
Oh, I mean, with the name Thunder, you gotta be. You can't just be Thunder and wear, like, a bow tie and do counting.
You know, it's interesting. I really wish there's, on AfterBuzz TV, our sister network, there's a host named Scott Narver, and he does a lot of the wrestling shows, but he does things here and there. And literally, if you put them side by side... between their looks and their personality, they are equal. And for those of you who don't know Scott Narver, it's okay. It's just this sarcastic outlook on life and never taking things seriously, but being monotone with everything that you say.
Sure.
To the point that no one can really know if you're being serious, you're joking, or you're joking at the person's expense.
Nice. So like a male Daria.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds good. sounds like a delightful misanthrope.
You know, and the funny part is Thunder never expected this to be the thing that made him so big. And realistically, all he actually wants to do is direct. So that's what the funny part is to me.
Really?
Yeah,
because he was slated to originally direct the first one, and then another project came up and he wasn't able to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... you missed out, Thunder, because that was fun in a bun. You could have done it, but he wrote it, so in a way he had a large hand in like shaping what eventually would be the movie.
Yeah, I mean
the largest hand.
Unlike most writers, he's so involved because, you know, I mean, it's one thing to have to do rewrites and whatnot, but as the movies have evolved, he's of course having to be on set to write little bits for every cameo that comes in.
Right, exactly. He has to kind of move on the fly, and like they film some of the cameos like after the fact as well. So yeah. He has to write after they've like wrapped on the movie. Even so, awesome. He's just putting 110 in for that movie for the love of the Sharknado. Hashtag Sharknado love.
You know, and the funny part is like they have no vision for this. We're today's Monday. It's a day after the premiere of it, and to my knowledge, there's not been official word whether or not a fourth or a fifth is coming out.
Oh
yet.
Man, it's got it. I mean,
I imagine
we'll
that
get
it
there,
is.
But it's oh, it's coming.
I imagine that
we're calling
it
right now.
But the thing is, it's not like he can plan around that. It's not like he can start like writing and whatnot. I mean, maybe he has some ideas, but every time they've made a new one, it wasn't a guarantee. And he has, they literally just crank these out within a year.
Hmm.
And that's the time. And he's always like, I don't know what to write after this one.
That's great.
How do I get myself out of this?
It's like the improv movie.
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Going on the fly.
on
the Sharknado fly. No? All right. Didn't work. Thought I had something. Didn't happen.
Absolutely. So, you know what? So let's talk story.
Yes.
Because, in terms of Thunder, right, I was thinking about this. He talked about the progression of these movies with us because he came in for when the third one was coming out. Oh Hell No.
Sure.
We haven't had him back since. But he was talking about that Sharknado's opened up a lot of there's a lot of questioning, right? And in the third one, they started to kind of not answer them, but certainly ask those questions. And remember, the best example I can give is when they were in the airplane or in the shuttle, and I forget who exactly asked, but they're like, how can sharks survive in space? Well, how do they survive in a tornado was the rebuttal.
Well, but then the fact remains that can happen and does happen. That there are like instances of raining fish in the world, especially in like India, Australia, and Honduras, as recently as January 2016. So this is the thing that really happens. So the fish totally could survive. The space one is where it like loses credibility. I had a theory that maybe there's like robot sharks. Maybe these are robot sharks. That's why they can survive in space and why they kind of have these weird like super hyper aggressive tendencies. Like there's a scene later in this movie where one of the sharks is just chasing a barrel. It's like, there's not blood coming out of the barrel. You could definitely cannot smell anything like within. How do you know there's a child worth eating in that barrel, shark? Yeah. I don't trust you.
I think you smelled it.
Nah,
it wasn't just a barrel.
Android sharks, calling it now. It's been a plan all along, and that's why they're having a hard time stopping them. They're full of blood. They're excellent copies, but they're not real sharks. That's why Ian Ziering can take a shark by the tail and whack it against a tree like it's a unruly rat or something.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that I did ultimately, you know, it's just continued. Like, it's one of those things, the less things are explained, the better.
Yeah, there's a quote, I think, from the director where he said something about, you know, the less we go into the science of things, the more fun it is. And I think I agree to a degree, but there's so much fun in that it could potentially happen. And I know I read something about how Thunder was aware that the waterspouts, tornadic waterspouts, actually happen and can totally pull up fish. So he's like, we just took it to its logical conclusion, which I love. And I think he can kind of lean into more. But I think they've kind of thrown that away in the last couple movies, probably, because it does seem like, well, oh, there's a shark. Like at the very first moment, that's the first thing you see is the living shark in space. Yeah. What is that doing? But you're right. Yeah. This is not a universe where sharks need air.
No, it is not.
No.
You know what?
We just have to accept that and move forward.
Well, now, again, what I love about this, in a way, they've kind of reset things because, again, there were so many questions being asked that now they've just upped it in such a way. The fact that there's oil NATOs, sand NATOs, and all these things. Like, talk
fire
about
NATOs,
more logical expansions.
Yeah. Yeah, the Boulder NATO was particularly interesting, and it did seem like it. All of these NATOs seem like they're mutating the sharks within the NATOs to survive these weird conditions. Like the Boulder NATO sharks had boulders like all over them, as in like the shark NATOs, the sharks in the fire NATO were on fire. Geez, sharks, you got to be robots or something, because how are you surviving these madness?
They're just things? Adapting.
They're just
Evolution.
Adapting. Oh, yes. It's the Jeff Goldblum approach. They just life finds a way. In the case of sharknadoes,
remember, I forget which point in the movie.
I believe so. And they did the hesitation, I think, because I was like, Jeff Goldblum. I wrote down Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. So that it's was a lot of. let me ask you this: did you feel like there? Because did you feel this one was overly parodied in a bad way, but in terms of the other movies? Where this had a lot more references than the other ones.
Yeah, well, I mean, this definitely is. It's going to a point of absurdity in this one. It does seem like they live in this universe where almost everyone talks in movie quotes, and almost everyone talks in like song lyrics. Everyone is doing references and parodies because they have so many cameos. They've pared it down to create this madness world where everyone just talks like everyone is in middle school and they just discovered movies and they're like, "The force is with you," and "would you?" and they're just going back and forth. It is hilarious. So I think that maybe the Sharknadoes have kind of created a world of madness. Maybe there's madness in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone is kind of going crazy. Could explain a lot.
You know, I mean that, in a way, I mean, part of the way I look at it, and I really hope this isn't – they're not doing this just to – because a lot of the articles that I see are like the top 10 quotes, top 10 references,
sure.
You know, and just basically lists.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope that – when they're thinking about these shark NATO movies. They're not just doing that just to get press that way.
Sure.
Because that's the easy route.
Right, to just make a list of things. What's popular and what can we have our characters do real quick?
You know,
yeah. And then just kind of piecing a movie together that way. Which, I mean, to be honest, it does feel a little bit like that at times. Like, there are moments within it where you're like, this section is a little silly and tacked on. But that's... It mostly, for the most part, adds to it. Like, for instance, the section where they're going to the chainsaw store, because, of course, chainsaw stores are a thing. They only sell chainsaws at these stores. Little boutique shops, really. But Dog the Bounty Hunter is our cameo for this. And then the other two I'm not too familiar with, but who – do you know them? Or
They're from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Got it. That makes a lot more sense than for their lines. I was like, they're making this reference – it seems a little out of place, but that's because I didn't know who they were. That's my fault.
Well, you know, and that's ultimately, I mean, in terms of the rewatchability, now, you know, everyone just gouges the internet of like, okay, who was this and what was that? And it's like, that's the second viewing.
That's such an interesting aspect of watching this kind of movie, because if you're not plugged into all of the right channels, you don't know who some of these people are and you can't appreciate some of the jokes. Like, I happily have seen a couple episodes of Baywatch. So at the end when they're like, oh, my mom and dad didn't want me to run around in a bathing suit all day. They wanted me to get a PhD. You can, oh, that's funny because that's what they did through most of their youth. I get it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a ton of references. So it does feel like the kind of movie that maybe requires a watching guide of kinds or something like that.
I would definitely suggest that, you know, as a starting off point, most of it would be anything NBC/Universal.
Mm.
There was a lot of Real Housewives. There was a lot of Vanderpump People, which is an interesting, you know, Bravo, things like that. Like anything. And remember, in the third one, we went to Universal Parks. And so start, that's your base. But then also, I don't know how, like... And then you have all the Shark Tank people, basically. Over the course of these four movies, I think we've had almost every single shark except Mr. Wonderful.
How funny. Just all, including the sharks in the movie without sharks.
Yeah. And necessary. That's what makes it fun.
Yes.
But yeah, so I you know, some of it, I don't know how everyone's fully picked, you know, but there's, you know, you can see why they have references to the Today Show.
Yeah.
Well, 'cause it's an NBC property.
Certainly. And that's why they're able to bring in people from those shows and be like, oh, look, we're adding credibility to this universe, which is great. I love so much. I love Natalie's – is it Natalie with the eye patch?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that. I love that that continued over from the last movie. And that now we just have a really cool-looking lady with an eye patch as our news anchor with Al Roker. Like, yes, keep this. Love it.
Definitely. I do miss Kathy and Hoda from the third one. They were at absolute riot.
Oh, I bet. But yeah, I love the news angle that they kind of take in this, and they kind of weave in and out with those two characters. I we'll talk about it more in a minute, I'm sure. But Al Roker is the only main character of color that survived this movie.
Well, to be fair...
Well, yeah, there's that teaser at the end where maybe Tommy Davidson did, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
So I was like, yes, maybe, but it was such a flash. I was like, oh, well, maybe this is a dream. Who knows? What if we're in the mind of one of the sharks? This is all a dream the whole time. No?
Okay.
You're like, absolutely not.
You know, someone did ask me, right? There's been so many people in this. I forget who lives and who dies. I might have to catch up. I'm like, listen, the only people that live is the family.
Mm-hmm.
It's the family. That's it.
Yeah, and even then, didn't the daughter die? No, she survived, right? The Claudia.
No, they just recast her.
Yeah,
just like with Matt in this movie.
Right. Yeah, and Matt even got eaten for a minute and died, and he was not upset about his wife dying at all. Like, mourned her for 0 minutes. His brand new wife, who he presumably like hadn't even like they didn't go on a honeymoon. They talked about like. Pimping one out of Tommy Davidson's character, but never. That
was a little rude. I was like, "What?"
Yeah, she's
just gonna. Someone's just, hey, get out of here.
Eh, well, if they're gonna save the world, someone needs to, you know, pony up a little something. I'm not gonna save the world for nothing. Ian Ziering gets a national, like worldwide acclaim. I don't know.
Well, it's not his choice, and remember, because she.
That's true.
You know what? Maybe
he's
there is
a
that
reluctant hero. You're right.
Maybe there's that money grabbing. For lack of a better term, whore. Because at the remember he's going to be.
Uh-oh,
he's
you being, guys. Hash at Phil. All right.
Listen, this is
angry
a theory
tweets.
Because, remember, Finn is about to be interviewed, and she's like, "Why didn't you get interviewed? You save all these people." He's like, "No, I care about my family." And she, you know, she's like, wants a claim. Maybe she's like doing this to again for her own benefit in terms of fame, fortune, and whatnot. But little does she know, it comes at a great cost.
Potentially. I mean, that reporter, by the way, who asked him if he's single and wants to be set up on a date, that is incredibly inappropriate. Like,
It's Patty the Millionaire Matchmaker.
Okay, but this is also, you're right. Ah, see, references I'm missing. But also, just like, lady, this is, let the man have his life. I was like, there's another moment later where it's just another news anchor doing something kind of inappropriate where the guy grabs the mayor. Remember that moment?
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? Stop grabbing the mayor. You are so fired.
But okay, so let's go back to Patty, the Millionaire Matchmaker reporter, when she asks him, "Are you single?"
Yeah.
It serves on multiple purposes. One, mm-hmm. that obviously it's just funny. If you get the reference, whatever.
Yeah, if you know who she is, you are extra appreciative.
But in a weird way, right? You know how you have to kind of get X-Paws out?
Mm-hmm.
This is just a nice reminder that he thinks his wife is dead.
Yeah.
And in no other movie could that work in this way, except for Sharknado.
I'll give you that, definitely.
And I think, you know, so they're like, okay, well, it solves all these things. Let's just do that.
Yeah. It totally set up for me, like, how he feels about the death of the wife and, like, how the family has been affected by it. Because you do get the sense that he and his son are, like, totally trying as hard as they can. Like, he's trying as hard as he can with his son. He does that hilarious, like, I'm carrying you around my back thing that dads do. And so there's this sense of him overly trying, and so and the sadness when he just is like, single. It was palpable and hilarious. I love it, Ian. You're doing great.
Let's talk about April, right, and how they handled that for
Android April.
Android April. Yeah. She's declared dead, but then you know Gary Busey, her father.
Yeah,
he creates the cyborg.
Uses his illegal technology to. Or his covert technology. I don't know if it's illegal or just hush-hush or whatever. But uses it to create cyborg daughter, save her life, or revive her.
Who has a Rocky montage pulling cars and everything like that.
With the trainer. It's just like, wait, if you're an android, how much do you actually need to train? How much can you just do?
She needs to learn her abilities.
Oh, okay. She needs... It seems like if she has inputs, maybe they should just figure out how to, like, load it on a disc. Just upload. All right, you know, karate.
Well, great. This isn't the Matrix yet.
I mean, but it could be. And I mean, Android stuff. She just had that hilarious, like, Christmas cord that she plugged herself into at night and kind of slept. But then she also had that stand-up box that had purple lightning in it. Because purple lightning is how you charge your batteries.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know how you guys do it, but that's how I do it. I mean, Sharknado.
Again, why wouldn't you have, like, the purple electricity?
Yeah. I mean, if you have to pick a color for electricity, purple is the way to go.
You know, and I liked how they separated them because, you know, I was wondering how they were going to handle this. And obviously we knew, once they started promoting it, we knew that it was going to be 5 years in advance of the last one. And so I was like, okay, well, you know. If she lives, then obviously you can just have her kind of be with the family. But it was great that they sort of separated them.
Yeah, and gave them an emotional moment to come back to. Yeah. And, you know, discoveries to be made together mutually and stuff. That was fun and interesting.
Which is, it sets up, this is why, in some sort of way, even though it's like another sequel, it is almost like a reboot because that's what the first one was about. They started to separate, you know, they were separate.
Mm-hmm. Very true, yeah.
And then they came together.
It's always about coming together. It's the way to do it. You know what I really loved about her also as an android was that she always looked like she ran quite a bit in this movie. At no point did she look like she wanted to be running. It was great. She looked like someone who just got told that she had to run a mile or like had to run two laps before she could go to the pool in like phys ed, and was just like, it was adorable. She just did not want to run at all. It was super cute, especially because she's an android and she has the power to do anything. So she still kind of just has that like Tara Reid like. Meh.
Well, what I liked speaking of like just you have the power to do anything. So
like literally anything.
Remember, she's kind of she goes and saves the kid. This is in San Francisco when she gets David Hasselhoff.
She carries the
Yeah.
Super cool old car, like Superman 1 comic style.
Exactly. But to save the kid, instead of, like, because she could have easily just run over the hood of that car, but instead she jumps on the hood and does a flip.
Does this flip, yeah.
Why? Just because.
It's just, it's, and it's a very, like, old, like, 60s, like, what's it called, the $60 million man, like, very silly, like, oldish, slow-mo-y kind of roll flip. It's great. It is so much fun, you guys. That's my preferred method of action. It was just very, like, shing, 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 shing. Like, the hilarious, yeah. It was great. Fantastic is the point.
I agree, you know, and obviously then the whole reference. I mean, there's so many Iron Man and Terminator references.
I'm Iron Man's wife. Yeah, that's the easiest way for her to be like, kid, seriously, just trust me and get out from under this car.
Yeah. So I thought they did a fantastic job with them. And again, I think they just brought them together in that nice way. One of the best lines of the entire movie, what, there's the added bonus of, like, Gil, right? So in the first one, you know, Finn is trying to make amends with his family between Claudia and Matt. In this one, you know, she's trying to make amends with her family in the sense, especially with Gil, who says, my mom's a shark, not a robot.
Yeah. Like being a robot isn't infinitely cooler than being a shark. Like, I'm going to take sides here. Robots are cooler than sharks. Sorry. Hashtag unpopular opinion.
The bigger question for me is, who gave this thought in his head?
Yeah, what point did he just, like, decide that his mother was a shark?
And who was like, no, your mother is...
They never corrected him. Like, he shows them a drawing early on where it's like, mommy, dad, or it's, yeah, and then mommy in this drawing is a shark. No, David Hasselhoff isn't like, honey... No. Like, he just is like, sure, kid. He's a very doting grandpa.
Did no one take this kid to the hospital when she was there for 4 years?
I mean,
be like, this is mom.
I mean, even as a 4-year-old, you have some semblance of like, oh yeah, mommy was in a bed all the time or something. You're not just going to be like, I think she's a shark. Pretty sure.
I'm like, I love that he knew right away. He's like, hey, mama, the fact that she's a robot, like, nothing gives her away that she's a robot.
Yeah, she just unzips her cat suit, and then she's just got kind of like a little panel, like little flashy bits right there.
No.
Just like, yeah, this is because I'm a robot.
They lit up Ian Ziering pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, whoa, I don't care, though, because I love you. It was beautiful. I loved how much he loved her. And, like, he sells everything in this movie so hard. He is the only guy who could lead this. It's so, like, Bruce Campbell-y and, like, powerfully, like, it's just masculine schmaltz to its just very core. He's like a David Hasselhoff, too. They're like live-action Zap Brannigans from Futurama. They're just this ultimate force of masculinity, and it's fantastic.
I mean, speaking of David Hasselhoff, what I appreciate about him, I think he wanted to be in this movie again. I think even though he had a great send-off in the third, I think he was like, guys, I'm in this one.
Yeah, you guys, I need to get in this. Yeah, absolutely. And he was hands down one of my favorite of the new characters, or, well, for me, of the new characters. You know, top five, definitely. And he had so much fun. Just everything he did. And there were a couple scenes with him and the kid where he's, like, genuinely a really kind grandfather figure. And you're like, aw, Hasselhoff, you seem like you're a pretty nice dad. At least for a couple moments. There's also some silly ones where he, like, angrily hums the Flight of the Valkyries. But
overall, I don't know if it was angrily. He's like,
da, 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 da. I don't know. I got a little sense of, like...
Because we're going to war.
Yeah. He's like, son, we're going to need you to... pull out a chainsaw pretty soon here. That's the way of this clan.
Well, everyone's got to pull their weight in the Shepherd family.
It's true. It's true.
You don't just get a freebie.
They got to cut their weight in sharks. That's the way of the clan.
So speaking of that, you know, one of the things that I've been noticing is that there's some people who see Finn Shepherd as a savior, and there's this might be going way of Batman. A la Dark Knight, you either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become a villain.
Uh-oh.
Where it's like, I don't know what the final like, I want to get it. We'll talk about it more when I give my thoughts on what the fifth movie could be. But I think they've been setting this up really nicely for Finn to either just be this shark magnet or not. You know, Stacey Dash, the mayor of Chicago.
Yeah.
She obviously thinks
she knows. She knows what's up. I think she's onto something, you know? Because
there were no Sharknados for 5 years. Let me know if you agree with this. There were no Sharknados for 5 years. And you think it's, oh, maybe it's Asterix. No. It was because, for me, he was living in Kansas. And now, as soon as he goes to Vegas, all hell breaks loose.
Yep. You got too close to an ocean. Sharknados happened. I think you're right. I mean, I think there's something essentially about that we have to find out in Sharknado 5 or beyond about why these Sharknados constantly chase Ian Ziering. Ian Ziering is or Finn Shepard. Finn? Is definitely a magnet for sharks in some manner. He's got to be some sort of shark chosen one, some shark whisperer. Like he, I think he gets called. Doesn't Tommy Davidson call him the shark whisperer? Yeah, exactly. So he is, for all intents and purposes, and for maybe no fault of his own, the shark whisperer. Maybe there's something in his past that involves him, like in a Wolverine-esque way,
like a Harry Potter, Voldemort. Like he speak whatever he's the snake split language with the is.
God of sharks or something. Maybe, who knows? If the I just feel like either it's. I don't think it's magical. I don't. I think because I think
it's going to be magic science,
right?
Which is what sci-fi ultimately is.
That's true. That's true. Magical science. Okay. Magical science. I'll accept that as an answer. I think we can move on from that then.
So I don't know. I just feel like it keeps getting brought up, and that's the way it's headed.
No, I think you're right. I think that that is the only way to make sense of this. Like, there's a wizard out there in 5, the shark wizard, and he's been combining sharks with tornadoes to make him more powerful. He's taken over Earth one little bit at a time. Finn Shepard is our only hope.
That's right.
That could be what Sharknado 5 is.
So let me ask you this. In terms of the new characters, who did you like the most?
And oh, man.
It could be a simple cameo, or it could be an actual character like Tommy Davidson.
Yeah. So, I mean, Tommy Davidson, first and foremost. Oh, my gosh. Tommy Davidson, everything he said was hilarious. He like, just masterfully was this character. There was a moment he walks into one of the buildings, and a metal detector goes off. And someone's like, hey. And he goes, what? I own the building. Come on. Or whatever. It's just there's so many great moments that I'm sure part of – like, many of them had to be improvised. They were just so snappy. Or if they were well-done thunder, they were written very tightly. So either way, it was just such a masterful, fun character. I was so upset when I thought he had died. I was like, no, not Tommy Davidson. I love him too much. Save Tommy Davidson. He is important to us.
And he does. He comes back.
He comes back. He has a little flash moment. So I'm hoping that he has a larger part because I enjoy him too as this, like, wannabe Tony Stark-esque character who, like, has the money and the resources and is trying really hard, but maybe doesn't necessarily have all the, like, all the, like, manliness to be the guy in the suit. Does that make sense?
Well, I think he's doing it for the wrong reasons. You know, his motivation is always like, you know, you used to be the guy now. Like, when I say the Sharknados are over, they're over. It's up to me, and he has this god complex.
I think so. You're probably right, to a degree. I think he was trying as hard as he could to not be a jerk when he was jumping out and giving Ian Ziering, like, no, dude, I'm going to do this. I felt at least like it was less like, this is for you, dude. This isn't for me. I was hoping. It was my impression. But I can see how it might have been the other way. And he's just like, bro, step aside. It's time for the Tommy Davidson show. So either way.
In a squirrel suit.
Yeah. And I make this look good because everyone speaks in quotes. But yeah, he was definitely one of my favorites. One of my other favorites, Gary Busey. Fantastic. I can't get enough of Gary Busey. He was so delightful and so fun, and one of the most intensely believable characters when he would just during the movie. He was like one of the people that I thought sold it the hardest, and I was just very happy.
Well, what was interesting, the way Hasselhoff says it, and I think him and Anthony Ferrante, actually, I forget which one, but
the director, right? Anthony Ferrante.
In terms of Gary. They actually confused him. He was like, wait, I need an explanation. What's going on here? And they're like, Gary, stop thinking about it. Just improv. Make up your own stuff. And he's like, okay. And then that's how they got what they needed out of him. And there was also moments, because Gary can be Gary, that they were like, okay, Gary, we have 15 minutes to shoot this. If we don't get this, it's not going to be in the movie. And then, boom, he just starts getting it.
Just does the thing.
So he can definitely concentrate when he needs to.
When he has to, yeah.
But when he doesn't, he doesn't.
Yeah. There's a moment I want to talk about with him where so he's told them that the mother is dead, that Tara Reid is dead, which, okay, that's not very nice of you. It's a messed up thing to do to a family. But he also says when they're like, we have her ashes on the mantelpiece. They're like, oh, that's your dog. Those are the ashes of your dog. Did he kill their dog? Is Gary Busey a dog murderer? Not the character from this movie, Gary Busey. No, I'm just – that was such a weird out of left field wait, what moment for me. Because he does seem kind of – I mean, I guess he would do it if he wouldn't tell the family that they would be alive. He might murder a dog.
Or maybe the dog died and he took out the body and cremated the – you know, it's just either way you slice it, you dice it, it's not good.
It's not a great favorable thing.
So, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
One of the things I did like, there's everything that I like, but, you know, Hasselhoff is obviously in the movie, and then both of his girls are in the movie. Mm-hmm. Taylor Ann and, I'm blanking on the other girl's name. But in terms of Taylor Ann, she's also on Rich Kids of Beverly Hills. And literally, all of the Rich Kids of Beverly Hills made it to this, pretty much.
Really?
Or should I say, I mean, what? Okay, so let me back up because I know I'm going to get like slaughtered for it if no there worries. Are actual. To me, Vanderpump Rules and Rich Kids of Beverly Hills are so intertwined that I think of them as one and the same, and perhaps they're not. But I also know that they all kind of travel in the same circles at this point. And so like a lot of the Vanderpump Rules people that are there, like Stassi and whatnot and Jax, I think are because of that connection.
I see.
And it's also an NBC property, so that helps.
Yeah, they're all kind of in the same circles. That does make sense. Cool.
And I liked what a fun moment for Kim Johnson and her now boyfriend Robert Hershovec to be in the same scene.
Oh, who?
So it was.
Who were they?
So they were dancing with the Stars partners. She's a dancer. He's the Shark Tank guy, and in the movie he plays one of the supervisors that gets yelled at. Of like, why did this happen? He's like, well, technically it was a Sam Nato. Yes. I don't want to hear you. Get out of here. Get like, you're in charge.
I enjoyed that moment with Tommy Davidson also.
I liked, does anyone have questions? I'm not done yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not done here. Does anyone have questions? I'm not done yet. Yeah, fantastic. He was just such a powerful character. Can't help but go back to him. My last favorite character, because I have a top three, 100%. Gilbert Gottfried. I would watch an entire movie of Gilbert Gottfried, the storm chasing screamer.
What was his name again?
Ronald McDonald.
Yes.
Yeah, it was Ronald McDonald. I was like, you guys, you're just going for it. I wonder if he picked it.
I don't know. Or like McDonald's was secretly like a sponsor.
Maybe.
Because I mean, they did have Xfinity. There was a lot of Xfinity commercials, right?
Yeah.
However, there was also like something that flew by, and for like about 2 seconds, it just said Xfinity on it because it was like some plate or some paper.
Interesting.
So
subliminal. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes somebody's got to pay for this movie.
That's true. This movie doesn't get made on its own.
No, it does not.
No, it doesn't.
And you know what? I don't mind when they do those cheesy type of, like, imagine if like they were all like, hey guys, now that the shark's over, why don't we drink some nice whatever the soda might be.
Yeah. Some nice Diet Coke or whatever.
Yeah.
Not sponsored by Diet Coke.
You know what? This isn't a new character, but I thought Ryan Newman as Claudia, the fact that she's working with David Hasselhoff, and I thought they had good chemistry together.
They were fun, yeah. And there's that moment where he makes like a Star Trek reference, the Boldy Go, and then she's like, "Star Wars, really?" And I thought that was really cute. And he legitimately seemed upset when he was like, "No, it's Star Trek." All right. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
And I like what's also funny is the fact that there's these quotes that you have to get as an audience, like the "I make this look good."
Yeah.
But this is like calling attention to it.
Yeah, exactly. and calling it out. He also says, we have movies for you to see. Like, there's work to do. And then he says, there's movies for you to see. Which implies that he doesn't watch the Star Trek show. He only cares about the Star Trek movies, which I also think is hilarious. David Hasselhoff in this universe only watches the Star Trek movies, but he thinks they're very important.
And they are.
He's not wrong.
Very important indeed. I thought they did good. Why was Drew Pinsky the pastor?
Yeah,
and why
Dr.
were they
Drew.
Getting married up in space, or not in space, but in the airplane?
Yeah.
That was absolutely ridiculous.
Oh gosh, I liked Gabby as a character. I was really excited for her to be there. I was really, really bummed that she died so needlessly. Like, it was just so, like, she wasn't defending anyone, really. It was just like, oh, she didn't go inside for some reason. Oh, no, she's gone. I felt like that was the way that almost everyone who had a name who died. It was like, oh, okay, they're gone. Yeah. Just kind of a descending, like, oh.
What did you think of the cousin? Gemini.
Gemini. I thought Gemini was cool. I kept confusing Gemini and Claudia. Just because I thought that, well, not when they were separate, but when they were finally put together in the couple end scenes. And I thought she was cool. I was hoping that she would do a little. Oh, she kicked the shark, which I thought was great. She used Mega Kick, which was fantastic. After a shark slaps her, which happened immediately after Gabby is smashed to death by a shark, and then a shark just lightly slaps her across the face with its tail. It's like, come on now, how strong is this Sharknado? Anyway. I was upset. I was like, how dare you murder Gabby and then be like, but for this girl, it just lightly slaps her in the cheek.
I did enjoy her. And, you know, what I kind of liked about this is we have the core family all the time, and then we kind of bring in these ancillary, you know, people like a Gemini. We've had brothers before. We've had, you know, the best friends and whatnot. And so it's just a great opportunity to kind of get someone a lot of screen time, but that may not necessarily want to be in the next sequel.
Certainly. I get that. And I mean, I think, you know, they can do that a little bit more with the extended family of the Shepherds, and they kind of do, obviously, by adding, you know, David Hasselhoff and the rest.
Cheryl Teagues.
Yeah, exactly. Who was really fun. I thought she was great as the mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought she did a great job. I think that there's a lot of chance for more friends to come in, because it does seem like they have a pretty short shelf life. No friends really stick around for the long haul, unfortunately.
No, they can't. They can't.
They can't. You can't stay close to Finn Shepard and live. Yeah. That seems like the kind of theme.
Let me ask you this, too. So Steve Guttenberg's in this, and he's a friend who gets called upon.
It's a great cameo.
It was, but is there going to be a crossover, because you know
it's the Lava Lantula that he's making a reference to, right?
Yeah.
Is that the movie that he just did? Did the car make an appearance in that movie?
I don't know. I haven't.
Or is it a real reference to the movie Christine?
I haven't seen Lava Lantula, okay. But I think it was double. I think it was a reference to Christine as well as that. And Two Lava, Two Lantula is coming out soon.
Maybe there's going to be some...
A crossover universe?
Some Christine usage. Oh, yeah, that too.
What do we call this? The you know, Marvel has MCU. What is this?
The S-Y-U?
S-Y-F-Y?
The S-Y-F-U? That seems rude sounding. The S-Y-F-U. Hey, S-Y-F-U. That's what we'll call it. Hashtag S-Y-F-U. The universe that all of the sci-fi movies live in. I'm willing to believe that. I think that's canon.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if for, like, you know, whatever the third Lava Lantula and then the fifth, this one that they tie in.
Lava Lantula, Tokyo Drift. No, that's the second one.
That's the third. Let's see. What else is kind of... I mean, you know, you can kind of check out the rest of the notes. It's just kind of more facts and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, but by the way, the premiere was in Vegas, which I thought was amazing.
Oh, really? That's funny.
Yeah.
It's always fun to see a movie that is featured in the movie in that place.
I really wanted to go to Sharknado. Like, what I love about this movie is that, you know, I get invites to so many different things. Like, not to brag, but this week.
Hashtag humble brag.
Well, this week I had the opportunity to go see Suicide Squad, and I could care less. Well, I want to see the movie, but I was like, you know what? There's other people more deserving than me. So I was like, okay, you guys go. So I sent a few kids from the DC Movie News show. Oh, cool. But for this premiere, I would have killed anyone to go. And it was one of those, I really think if I asked Tara, I could have gone, but I didn't want to like
be that friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tara, if you're watching.
Listen, Tara's my new best friend. She's coming back in.
Okay, good.
Me, her, and Daryl Kristen, we're like BFFs at this point.
Oh, snap.
She's, you know what? I would say what you want about Tara. I think she's fantastic.
I mean, I think she's really fun. I think she brings such a funny energy to her character. Because there's literally a moment where she's just like, meh. About like life or death situations.
She's a robot.
She's a robot. See, and that's why. But it's just so fun. She has so much fun. I can tell. Yeah. And I love that she is having so much fun doing it. So there's no hate in my analysis.
Yeah, well, indeed. So, all that's left is to really pontificate where this is going, and this is the fun part of it too. You guys can obviously participate in this in the comment section. Let us know what you guys think. You know, where is this going? We get the best cliffhanger. What I liked early on in the movie, they're like, oh, Nova is so lucky she's off in Paris or wherever the hell she is. And then the Eiffel Tower
flies in. I was afraid for some impalation, but I'm glad no one got impaled.
And there's Nova. And what I do remember, Twitter went nuts. Yeah. Hashtag Nova.
Hashtag Nova. Like, because what? Like, that's great. I'm so excited.
I love the character of Nova, and I'm also a guy, and she's a great-looking girl, so I'm Team Nova.
She's a pretty lady. It's true. Yeah, man. I'm excited to see where that goes. I hope that we find out more about Nova.
And, like, why Paris?
Yeah, why? And have you been gone for the whole 5 years? Like, what have you been up to? Are you going to, like, kick some more shark butts now that it seems like the shark problem is escalating once again in this new time of shark turmoil?
Yeah,
save us. Save us, Nova. Hashtag save us, Nova.
And what's Robot April going to think of now, new Nova?
Oh, I know. I mean, that just you bring in such a fantastic opportunity for them to be at each other again.
Yeah, because they, you know, I always loved the, you know, when Nova was like, I'm still not a slut. Because she's not.
She's not. Come on, Tara. Be cool.
You know, in terms, what would be interesting, this is... Again, where they go, I have no idea, and I've never been right about this, especially with this type of movie. But I really do think that it could be fun to explore if all of a sudden Tommy Davidson's character goes evil, mm-hmm. realizes that perhaps it is Finn Shepard who must be destroyed because mm-hmm. he is the shark whisperer.
Interesting. I like that idea that he turns evil, but I think the way in which he turns evil is less like malicious and like, I'm going to destroy Finn, and more like, I'm going to monetize this whole Sharknado situation. Because especially if he's creating this like this technology that like undoes the Sharknados, then he's the only person in the universe, the United Nations like gets to come to when they're trying to prevent further Sharknados, which means he gets to be like... the Lex Luthor of that place, like, oh yes, I'll sell you all the security, and have his like malicious empire. So I'm worried more that he'll like exacerbate the problem. That he'll basically like play the god role, like you were saying, and kind of just mess nature up more in a way that's gonna exacerbate the Sharknadoes.
Mm. It'll be interesting. I mean, I have no idea where they can go more than like nuclear NATO.
Nuclear NATO. That was a pretty hard one to top. Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, we could be going into space some more. Who knows? I'm interested to see if we're going to go to other countries now, just specifically other countries. Because we went all over. We watched almost all of the like United States monuments get murdered, which was really fun and weird to see. I don't know if it is unprecedented if I've seen like monuments as many as we saw this time just get decimated. But it was fun. I think that's like the essence of a disaster movie is you want as many monuments down as possible.
Well, we could go to France.
Yeah, exactly.
It depends on the importance of Paris.
Yeah, maybe they have to take back that Eiffel Tower. I mean, they're just going to leave it there?
Imagine if they brought it on like the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Like, you guys got us this. We brought you back your Eiffel Tower on our Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. The Statue of Liberty is just some sort of rocket that they're able to use to fly. Gary Busey has turned it into a rocket, maybe. I want to see more Gary Busey as a scientist. I want to see maybe him creating gadgets for the team if he's able to come back. Same with David Hasselhoff. Seems now like he's the older, grizzled army guy that we get from most of these kinds of movies. So more of that, please. But it seems like maybe there's like a war of the sharks coming, you know, or the Sharknado war of 2017, maybe.
It could certainly happen. you know what? But as long as, if you're just like with the Chippendales, as long as you're able, I love
the pelvic thrust. So good.
You know, and that's what I love. Like, you either have to fight them off with your battering ram,
whatever you got,
or with whatever the hell that explanation was between the water and then this and then that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I felt so sad for that accountant on the pirate ship in the beginning who is handed a sword, and he literally looks at the sword and goes, "What am I supposed to do with this?" He's never seen a movie. And he dies immediately.
I liked it was even funnier when I don't know how to hoist a sailor. I'm not a this and that.
Yeah.
Whatever, just do it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So then just get your friends and do it, and then they just immediately do it.
Yeah, as if it's they like, know the instructions.
That was easy. So,
absolutely. Naturally. All right. Pirates. Well, we can continue on forever, but at that point, it'd be just us laughing at certain moments of the movie.
Yeah.
But instead, we're going to wrap up, and you guys can let us know your favorite movie moments, and we'll talk about them. How does it compare to the other Sharknados? So on and so forth. Whatever you guys want to talk about. That's what the comment section is there for. And we'll do our best to respond when we can. But it was a pleasure having you on today's episode.
It was a pleasure being here. Thank you for having me, Phil.
Of course. You know, who knows? You might see him on a couple more Anatomies.
Hey, if I'm lucky.
What shows do you... He is an AfterBuzz host. What shows do you do currently?
I currently am on BoJack Horseman, as well as the Netflix show, as well as the sci-fi show Dark Matter, another sci-fi great. If you guys are interested in that show, tune in. We do that one on Sunday nights. BoJack is on Wednesday nights. Tune in, and you will enjoy that.
There you go. So, and unlike with most of these franchise movies, we don't have to wait 2 years. I promise, I would be willing to bet $100, but if I lose, I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
That there's going to be a Sharknado 5. I really do. And the good news is we know that's going to be coming in 2017. So always, we just have to wait a year. That's the fun part about this. We always get another one.
And we'll get there.
You know, but I do think in some weird way, I think the fifth one, I don't know if I would be ready for a sixth and a seventh. I think, you know, I think the fifth, we've culminated to, like, things have to be answered in the fifth.
I hope so. It remains to be seen. I think we've set up a lot of great things. I hope we do wrap it up in the fifth, but if not, maybe we will be able to do one more.
Like maybe one more. Maybe. I don't think more than six. For me, I don't think more than six.
Over six might be too many, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. We'll see you guys next time on another Anatomy of Movie. We've got Jason Bourne coming up. We've got Sus Party, War Dogs, Bad Moms, so on and so forth. And by the way, last year we did Sharknado 3, so definitely check that out. Check out the interview with Tara Reid we just did on iTalk. And as well as our last year's interview with Thunder 11. So definitely check those out. We'll see you guys next time on Anatomy of a Movie.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the rest of the Anatomy of a Movie staff, we would like to thank you for listening and subscribing to the show. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email or tweet us. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been Anatomy of a Movie.